T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on The Score.
I knew when I was coming here and we agreed to the trade and the restructure of the contract, being with Coach Nagy again, I know him as a human being and what culture he brings and the history of, you know, Andy Reid's tree and stuff like that.
The Andy Reid tree?
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
Oh, man, after my own heart, talking about the Andy Reid tree. Thanks for hanging out on a Friday. Mack and Parkin's on The Score. Steve Stone in an hour. Jed Hoyer in 90 minutes. That's your new Bears quarterback, Nick Foles. He and Mitch Trubisky met the media today. And there's a lot of talk, Mack, about Foles and familiarity. He's comfortable with them, and they're comfortable with him, and they're singing a story of Kumbaya over there at Halas Hall.
Of course they are. That's what you would expect them to be singing as they, you know, look forward to a training camp that might start next week. And, of course, they have all the facilities figured out just to, you know, backwards, forwards, every which way you possibly could. Ryan Pace is convinced Halas Hall is the model by which all NFL teams should be judged when it comes to handling the pandemic. He's got it all figured out.
Way to go, Ryan Pace.
He's graded his team best in the NFL in terms of facilities.
I apologize. Bill O'Brien today, it's like a contest between all of these NFL people. Like the Lions put out some big, like, spectacularly produced walkthrough video of all of the things that they have at their complex. Bill O'Brien today claims that the Houston Texans facility was the cleanest building in Houston and that you could eat food off the floor.
Let's do it.
Yeah, why not? Just for the record, I don't think when people talk about, you know, there's no bubble in baseball and baseball's having its problems with 20% of the league's not playing in its game tonight because of the COVID outbreak within the sport and how the NFL doesn't have a bubble. It's not the exact same because football teams will most likely fly in on Saturday, play their game, and then fly back on Sunday. They'll be 24, 36-hour trips. So it's not the same as being on the road for 5, 6, 7 days like a baseball road trip, but that's only like scratching the surface of what it is, right? There are more people involved in the operation of a football team than a baseball team, and the sport itself doesn't lend itself to any social distancing. Baseball
on or off
does.
The field, Danny, on or off the field, it doesn't. The meetings in football are far more exhaustive than they are and lengthy. Way more time spent in that sport, sitting around discussing things, going over your iPads and your game plans and looking at a chalkboard, and that's all that all happens indoors. And you could socially distance all you want, but what you're going to wind up with is the reality that a lot of guys are going to be sharing the same air for long periods of time, and that's how the virus spreads. It spreads worse indoors. And I think it is an incredibly difficult putt to sink. And I wish them all the luck in the world, but my optimism is very low on whether the NFL is going to be able to pull this off. I really have a hard time believing this is going to work.
Well, and because I've seen some football media try to split the differences between the two. Here's why the Marlins case is relevant for relevant, some might say, for football. The Marlins had their outbreak, but the positive tests did not all happen at once, right?
Mm-hmm.
It went from 4 to, I think, 10 or 12 to 18 to 20. That didn't mean that, but they had long since quarantined and separated since
right.
then. And so it takes a different amount of time. So someone
yes.
could have the virus, be contagious, test negative, play in the game,
correct.
And then be on the bottom of a pile.
Yeah.
And or yeah. be in a meeting room, to your point. Like, a lot of the meetings, they've been doing meetings, and those have been done with Zoom. And they have done some things at these facilities to keep teams away from each other and have little pods set up and all of that. But unless they come up to me with some sort of breakthrough technology for the helmets – like, the ability basically to be masked while playing, which thus far the players have not been satisfied with anything that has been floated to them. Until you come up with some way to have these guys not be breathing on each other while playing football,
uh-huh.
that's the problem. Like, because you could do your meetings on Zoom.
Don't
you
breathe.
Can, you know, but you can't play football
no.
without respiratory particles flying through the air. Like, it's
yeah.
it's just not possible. So to me, if they come up with that, I will listen to a plan. But they haven't come up with that yet.
You're talking about a body condom, basically, in addition to a mask. You have to, where all of the skin is covered by a protective layer of latex, right? I mean, because that sweating and skin-to-skin contact, that's problematic also.
Right, not as bad as the respiratory stuff, but yeah, it's mainly you got to figure out a way for these guys to be willing to play a very dangerous sport that is obviously cardiovascularly challenged with their mouth and noses covered. It's not going to be easy. If you can figure that out, I think you then have the beginnings of a chance to pull something off. But until then, it's all very foolish. But that's
20
kind
members.
Of what
we- 20 members of a baseball team are testing positive, and football is going to give this a go.
Yeah, exactly. We'll figure it out. But so in that vein of trying to figure it out, the Bears, oh, yeah, by the way, have a quarterback competition. And the last time we heard Mitch Trubisky speak, he did it with the man in the arena quote behind him. He was I don't remember if you were on or off when that happened, but it was very calculated. Like the Zoom camera was, you got Mitch Trubisky and you got a poster of that famous quote about it's not the critic who matters, it's the man in the arena and all that stuff. Like he had a bit of an edge to him. He just sounded a little different. It was like, okay, my back's up against the wall. They brought in Nick Foles. I'm either sinking or swimming this year, so I have nothing to lose. Let's go. And it was honestly kind of refreshing to hear it. And apparently today he had a long back and forth with reporters once again about his doubters. So this is a few minutes here. Let's listen to Mitch Trubisky, who the Bears say are going to get the first reps and have an advantage over Nick Foles in this competition. Let's hear if Mitch Trubisky is still having that edge as training camp approaches.
Hey, Mitch, you mentioned the mechanics, and that was kind of a new thing for you this offseason. I was wondering what specifically about your mechanics did you work on, and how did you go about making those adjustments?
I'm not going to dive in specifically. I mean, hopefully it shows up on tape this year, just me having better balance in the pocket. Did a couple of things with the footwork and just how I'm holding the ball and where my release is coming from and stuff like that. So it's really the first time I ever adjusted my mechanics, and I just really loved working with Jeff and how he approaches coaching the quarterback position, and how he studied the great players that have played this position and how he translates that to coaching. So I just It's been really fun. I feel like my motion is better. I feel like I'm more in balance and the ball's coming out more accurately. So I'm confident with where I'm at right now and how all that work has helped me this offseason. So I'm excited about it.
Colleen?
Hey, Mitch. Given that this quarterback competition is more condensed than the team probably originally intended it to be, with no fewer practices and no preseason games, how does that affect your mindset going into the competition?
It doesn't really affect my mindset at all. I think every day I show up, I have to prove myself that I'm the number one guy for this team. And that just showing up every day, being prepared, and going out and being the best quarterback I can be for this team. So that's my mindset. Whether it's shortened or not, I just hope we can get this season going. Obviously, there's no preseason games, so you just got to take advantage of practice every single day and show the guys that I'm the leader that this team needs, and just roll with it going forward. So I'm excited. You just got to take advantage of each day.
Mike,
Mitch, you know, right or wrong, there's people who have written you off, written the offense off. Psychologically, how does that drive you? How do you intend to attack camp and this season, knowing those things are being said?
Yeah, definitely. Sorry, you were cutting off a little bit at the end, but I got the gist of your question. For me, it's very motivating. I mean, you're always going to have people writing you off, and it's just got to light a fire underneath you, which it has for me, and I'm just trying to prove everybody wrong and prove my teammates right. So there's just so much hard work that goes into it, and for people to write you off, I mean, that it definitely motivates you in a way that you just – want to go out there and play as best as you possibly can. So I'm definitely fired up, and you got to make it happen.
All right, last one. Caitlin, go ahead.
Mitch, Coach Nagy was talking about the fact that you have to be creative and creating this competitiveness because you guys won't put pads on until mid-August. How can you do that for yourself, for the rookies, for the offense, because you won't have those preseason games, because it's such a delayed and condensed kind of training camp? How can you create that competitive edge with what you have?
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, it's easy. Just with everything everyone's said about me and now being in a quarterback competition every day, I'm just trying to bring that edge, and hopefully that edge and sense of urgency I'm bringing rubs off on the young guys and everyone else, to where they gotta pick it up and get to my tempo, and we're just out there competing at every single spot, offense versus defense, whatever it is. And I think this acclimation period is going to go a lot faster than a lot of these guys think. So everybody better dive into the playbook, being taking care of your bodies, and being smart when you're away from the facility and taking those precautions with all the testing and stuff going on. So I think me just bringing that edge and having that sense of urgency and bringing it every day is going to help get these guys going, and everyone should feel that sense of urgency.
So that's Mitch Trubisky. A good quote: prove everyone wrong and prove my teammates right. That's the right mindset to have. Definitely did not have the edge that I found him to have last time we heard him speaking. But he's saying, I guess, the right things.
He's tired of talking about it.
Yeah.
You can tell. He's exhausted from it. He has a lot of weight on his shoulders. He recognizes what's going on here, and that is he is going to be part of NFL conversation for decades to come on one of the biggest mistakes in the upper part of the first round of NFL draft history. He knows that, and he's sick of talking about it. I understand that he's sick of talking about it, but it's not going anywhere. And I have no doubt what he says, he believes that he has that type of confidence and support from his teammates. That's fine. He isn't any damn good. And I give him zero chance of ever being an NFL difference maker. We've argued this before, and you think I'm way too over the edge on this thing, but that's where I am with Trubisky. I don't think he has the requisite tools between the ears to be an effective NFL quarterback. That they survived a year and won 12 games with him is pretty remarkable when you think about it. But it wasn't because of him. They did it with him, not because of him. And I don't know if you'll see that duplicated ever again. I would bet against it that the Bears ever win 12 games again with Mitch Trubisky as their starting quarterback. I don't think that'll happen again.
Yeah, so would I. I'd bet. I think Nick Foles is going to be the starter. You think Mitch is going to be the starter. So
well, Mitch doesn't have a chance to lose the job until they play a game, unless he's that off the chart terrible in drills.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're going to be quizzing these guys. They're going to be quizzing them on their offense and their knowledge of the offense. And I'll take Nick Foles if it's a quiz over over Mitch Trubisky.
I'll take Nick Foles in world geography.
I mean, $64,640, $64 million, billion
Which
and a half.
Which was your favorite, by the way, the $640 question?
I like that. That was just ridiculous.
That is the maybe billion-dollar, maybe billion-and-a-half-dollar question.
That's a very valuable question. But really beyond all of it, I think it's going to be Nick Foles because Matt Nagy wants it to be Nick Foles.
If that's one of the quarterbacks is stinking it up and he's playing like crap, we're going to tell you you're playing like crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Nagy wants Foles to be the quarterback.
I think he's going to get what he wants. I've said that since they got him. It was like, oh, okay. He worked with him in Kansas City. He hired John DeFilippo, who worked with him in Philadelphia. That's going to be it. The coach is going to get who he wants to be the starting quarterback in this type of weird season, I assume. But they're just, you know, Ryan Pace is saying the right things. They're saying the right things about Mitch. It's a competition, all of that stuff. And to Mitch's credit, honestly, his teammates, and you could say it's lip service if you want, they do speak very highly of him. And Allen Robinson, Tariq Cohen, David Montgomery, Anthony Miller, they've all done off-season workouts with Mitch Trubisky, not with Nick Foles. Mitch Trubisky called Jalen Johnson and Cole Kmet on draft day. Like, Mitch is carrying himself like he's the starter. He might be lying to himself, but he is acting as if he is going to be the starting quarterback of this football team.
Yeah, I really want to push back on you, but I can't because the bread is in Eddie Jackson's pudding. Cody Whitehair talked about this. Mitch Trubisky is Cody Whitehair's child's godfather, or the other way around. I mean, that's how much these guys like him.
Did you say or the other way around?
I'm pretty sure.
As if Cody Whitehair's child is Mitch Trubisky's godfather?
Yeah, right. Well, you know what I mean. Cody Whitehair has a baby, and he asked Mitch Trubisky to be the godfather. I'm pretty sure that's how it went, right?
Yeah, Mitch does not have kids. Yes.
But that doesn't mean, you know, why do I think that? What do I have a ton of value for Cody Whitehair's opinion? Not really. No, I really don't. I mean, I would rather they like him and respect him than not. But we're not talking about Quentin Nelson here. We're not talking about guys who have just set the world on fire by their own play. So, you know, until I hear players of a very high level of success sing his praises, it doesn't really mean a whole lot to me. You just got, you know, some average, above average guys at best on that Bears offense backing a guy who clearly is below average because they like him and they work well with him. And they recognize that he puts in the hours. And no one's ever criticized Trubisky for that. It's not a lack of effort. It's a lack of skill. It's not want to. It's not the fire in the belly that's going to be created by the presence of a guy who won a Super Bowl. Like I've heard so many suggest, well, this will set the fire under him. He's had that fire. You got an NFL starter's job. What more fire do you need? It's not about that. It's not about want to. It's about skills. He doesn't have it.
I don't think he has much of it either, but I think it's more between the ears than physical skills. I think he's physically talented enough to be a quarterback in the NFL, but he's running out of time in this offense. Like, I believe 4 years from now, Mitch Trubisky is in the NFL. I don't think he's a starter, but I do think that Mitch Trubisky is good enough to be on an NFL roster. Like, when people talk about him being a bust, that is to me because Pat Mahomes is the best player in football and Deshaun Watson is one of the faces of the league and they were taken after him. So his scrutiny is because of the trade up, the market he is in, and the guys he was taken in front of, not because of his awfulness, right? Jamarcus Russell has never flirted with what Mitch Trubisky did 2 years ago. Neither did Ryan Leaf. Neither did Achilles Smith. Neither did Tim Couch. There are guys who are way bigger busts than Mitch Trubisky.
Yes, but Jim Druckenmiller of the 49ers was a first round. He wound up, he was out of the league in 2 years. So you're right. If you're on an NFL roster for 7 or 8 years, even if it's primarily as a backup, you're not at the same level of some of those guys that you mentioned who were out of the league in 3 years.
So I just think that is, it's worth pointing out And you know me, man. I'm not in any way a Trubisky defender. I was a Trubisky optimist going into last year, and clearly I was wrong. I thought he was going to take that leap in the second year of a good offense like Jared Goff did under Sean McVay and Carson Wentz did under Doug Peterson. Like I was projecting onto Mitch what we had seen from other young quarterbacks in the NFL when it's easier to be an effective passer than ever before because of the rules. And he wildly disappointed me and all Bears fans. So Mitch is not, I don't think it's going to work out for him here. I'd be surprised, but I have to be fair to the guy. He's not an all-time bust. And I do think his teammates standing up for him matters. And I said the same thing to Spiegel. He disagreed. What about you? If you had to bet on it, 4 years from now, Mitch Trubisky on an NFL roster, yes or no?
Yes. I think he is on a roster.
Me too.
He's a good enough athlete to wear a baseball cap 16 times a year. Yeah, I think he'll be in the league. I don't have confidence that he'll have an opportunity to be a starter if it doesn't work here. I'd be surprised if anybody were to look at him in the offseason and say, yeah, let's go get Mitch Trubisky. I don't think that'll happen. If he winds up starting down the road, it will be because somebody's hurt or they're holding out.
Yes, I mean, some team will convince themselves that they can make it click for that guy. And by the way, the overwhelming likelihood is we get to see both of these guys this year, right?
That's
neither
true.
One of them is that talented or that special necessarily to hold off the other one for a full 16 games.
Yeah.
I think it's more likely that Foles would hold off Mitch because of, like I said, I think he's Nagy's guy, and it's not going to be because of mental errors, but he's not that physically talented. He got beaten out by Gardner Minshew.
Right.
You know, so neither one of these guys has such an ironclad hold on any job here that a three interception half doesn't mean that it's possible for them to get benched. So I do think we'll see both of them at some point this year. And oh yeah, by the way, injury. And oh yeah, by the way, there might not be a season.
Yeah. But let me back you up just a second.
Sure.
I agree with you, Trubisky. It's silly to regard him as one of the all-time busts in NFL draft history, but I think it's absolutely fair and appropriate to have him as part of the discussion when we talk about the Bears' biggest misses in their first-round history. That is absolutely fair.
Of course. Of course. That, to me, is because of exactly who the other guys were. They had the opportunity to take the first quarterback in that draft. They knew Myles Garrett was going one. They had the third pick. They were willing to trade up to two. They had the opportunity. They missed. It's been covered ad nauseum. Everyone knows the story. But, of course, it's an all-time Bears miss. He's not an all-time NFL bust. That's the only distinction I'm making. And so
he's got that going for him, which is nice.
Yeah, it's something for Mitch to hang his hat. And, like I said, I do think it's worth pointing out Kyle Long, Allen Robinson, Cody Whitehair, for whatever level of skill you think those guys have, and Allen Robinson's really damn good, Kyle Long was for a while, they've stood behind the guy. They seem to like him and they see him in a light that Mitch has not allowed Bears fans to see him in. Right, the Mitch Trubisky in the huddle or in the locker room is not the Mitch Trubisky that meets the media. So I still feel like we don't know the Mitch Trubisky that Cody Whitehair knows.
Yeah, but they don't get the guy on Sundays. They get during the week when he garners their respect and trust because he's so scattered for the 3 hours when it matters most. They see that. They probably scratch their heads if they truly have the trust in him they project they do, then they have to wonder what the hell happens when the bullets are flying, so to speak.
Oh, sure. I mean, there wasn't like a protest at Hallis Hall when they traded for Nick Foles. You know, they have to have some awareness that Mitch is not getting the job done, and they understand the business of football. I'm just saying, I think they genuinely like the guy. I think they genuinely see something in him. It doesn't strike me as lip service. I would tell you if it did. He checks some of those boxes. It doesn't matter if he's not good and not smart enough to handle the offense, but he has a few things going for him in this competition. Steve Stone will join us to talk about Nick Madrigal and all the White Sox news coming up at 4 o'clock. Jed Hoyer on the Cubs in Major League Baseball at 4:30. But there's been a lot going on with legalized sports gambling in Illinois. Joe Ostrowski has been covering the industry in this state from the beginning better than, honestly, anyone in local journalism. So he's going to catch us all up, including the potential serious consequences for Arlington Park, next on the screen.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The great Joe Ostrowski is coming up next. Quite literally, Joe Ostrowski is on with us right now. The Cubs game got postponed last night, so Joe had a night show. He's been all over. It's the impetus of Rick Camp being in studio is when Joe Ostrowski was in Springfield.
And Rick Camp in studio.
Exactly. Covering the news of Illinois' legalization of sports gambling, something that I've been waiting for, frankly, my whole life. And it's here, but in true Illinois fashion, it's been a little weird. So I want to catch up on this with Joe, who's been – I love gambling, but the industry Joe has been covering very well. Joe Ostrowski with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. What's up, Joe?
It's here, and it sucks, Danny. I'm just trying to get through this conversation without getting fired. That's my goal this afternoon.
Okay.
You're off
like
to a
that.
Great start, Joe.
Explain the Arlington Park component of this, because I genuinely don't know what ramifications there are for the racetrack as of now. What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know as much on the Arlington Park, but what happened yesterday is Churchill Downs held their quarterly earnings call, and the CEO said the land for Arlington Park will have a better purpose down the road. So without saying it, what they are actually saying, if you pay attention to what Churchill Downs is doing throughout the country, they're getting out of the horse racing industry. They're into gaming. The majority owner of Churchill Downs is also tied in with Rivers. Arlington Park, very close to Rivers, so that's some competition. It's sad for a lot of people that love to visit Arlington Park. They have an option to run races in 2021, but the end is near. Horse racing at Arlington Park is going to go away, and I don't know what's going to take place that land over there.
Has Arlington Park done a good job? Because I don't know the answer. I've gone out there only when asked to be out there all but once or twice in my life, Joe. Have they done a pretty good job with that place, and has it been financially successful?
I haven't been there in a number of years, Mac, but when I talk to people that are very passionate about horse racing, that loved going there for a very, very long time, they just say it's a sad state of affairs out there right now. And this was always going to happen, but it just became a reality yesterday. And now we have racing at Hawthorne, and it was a good day for Hawthorne Racecourse because they officially got their sports betting license from the Illinois Gaming Board. So a company called PointsBet will be operating out of Hawthorne, and they took another step closer to getting a gaming license. So what's going to happen next year is Hawthorne, they're going to have a sports book and a casino. They're going to have the Racino set up, which is great news for them.
Joe Ostrowski, the host of Early Odds each Saturday morning right here on The Score from 8 to 9 a.m. is our guest. you know, nothing can be easy with Illinois politics, Joe. It's a it's a tradition unlike any other, frankly. What role is that, like the uniqueness of Illinois politics in muddying the water here for the rollout of the legalization of sports gambling?
All right, let's rewind to last Friday. Governor Pritzker, in a bit of a news dump, he reissued a number of executive orders. Apparently, that's something that you have to do every 30 days. And he left sports betting out, meaning the remote registration part. So in-person registration is back on in Illinois. This happened this past Sunday at midnight. I wasn't even aware that this happened until Sunday morning. So now you cannot go online to register at a sports book. And so you start to look at everything involved. And, well, that is part of the law. That is the poor bill that was passed last year when I was in Springfield and Rick Camp was in studio.
Yes.
Was that just to hammer that one home? It was a bad bill because you had the in-person registration, but a lot of us, including yours truly, very excited that we do have sports betting in Illinois. But we're in the middle of a pandemic. So the governor is telling the fine people of this state, if you really want to spend money, your money, give us your sports betting money, give us your tax dollars. What you do during a pandemic is you have to walk into a casino to have the right to bet with the state of Illinois instead of just going over the border to Indiana and pulling it up on your phone and doing that or just staying offshore. It is just a mess. And it happens as the NBA and the NHL are returning. It happens at a time when DraftKings, FanDuel, fine sponsors of this station, PointsBet, William Hill are all about to launch in the state of Illinois. So you have to take a step back. And as you mentioned, Danny, it's Illinois. And there's politics involved, and there's one place that benefits in addition to the offshores in the state of Indiana, more than happy to take all of our sports betting dollars.
So you know, to be honest with you, like, I expect bumps in rollouts of all of this. Like, I can, you are so immersed in the industry, I can tell it's paining you. Like, to me, it's not as maybe surprising in all of that. What do you think the finish line is on this, and how close to that finish line are we in terms of smooth sailing Illinois legalized sports gambling? Did we lose Joe's connection?
Yeah, I believe we have.
Okay, that's too bad. Because
it was the phrase smooth sailing that sunk his boat.
Yeah, so yeah, we didn't have a smooth connection. That's unfortunate. If we get him back, I'd like to answer to that because it's just he's back. Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Joe.
Okay.
Do you hear me?
There. Yeah. So I was just asking, like, where are we on the fin? Like, when is the choppy waters going to be behind us and we're going to be able to say, okay, it was rough at launch and various things came up and every industry was disrupted by a pandemic. We have figured it out, and it's smooth sailing from here with Illinois sports gambling.
You got me, right?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Okay. Well, part of the reason I'm so frustrated is because we know how Chicago sports fans are and how they love to bet. It's ingrained in the culture here. It's been that way for a very, very long time. And you talk to people that cover this industry that have watched the legalization state by state. They think if you were able to remove the in-person registration, like was happening for a few months, that the state of Illinois would be at the top of the board, maybe the largest handle by state of money bet, meaning also a lot of tax dollars for the state in the country. And by doing this, by getting rid of the in-person registration, or rather by bringing it back, what Pritzker is doing is he's passed on tens of millions of dollars for the state. And this is why you should care about it. This, even if you're not into sports betting, I know a lot of you don't give a damn about it. And they're telling me on social media, there's a lot more important things going on in the world. Well, he went out of his way to exclude sports betting in the last list of executive orders this past Friday. So that's what really bothered me. I don't mean to answer a question with a question, Danny, but how motivated do you see a lot of young people right now or even after the pandemic to go to a casino so they can bet on sports when they can do it right now from home.
Mm-hmm. Right. You want to remove all barriers of entry eventually when you can, because people will find a way, right? We've seen throughout the history of this country, prohibition doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's just like a bedrock principle.
Well,
go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. And the other part of it is, so we have DraftKings, they're the monster. FanDuel is a monster. Any market that they go into, they eat up about 80%. These are the facts. If you look at Indiana, look at New Jersey, look about just about anywhere. So I understand why these casinos want to keep DraftKings and FanDuel out. But here's the deal. It became DraftKings at Casino Queen last week in East St. Louis. So in-person registration was gone. DraftKings and FanDuel like, cool, this is great. We're in, and it doesn't matter where we go. It doesn't matter what location we pick, because it's about remote registration right now. And that was pulled out this past Sunday. And if you want to bet with DraftKings in the state of Illinois, you're going to have to take a five-hour trip if you live in the city of Chicago. I mean, how Illinois is this? If you want to use DraftKings, you have to take a five-hour trip from Chicago to East St. Louis. You pull out your phone. You walk into the casino. You don't have to talk to anyone. And then you can sign up on your phone in the casino, and then you can leave. Makes no sense. Until the in-person registration goes away, I don't see how the state makes even close to as much money as they were expecting.
That's 10 great hours of windshield time with the score, though. Just really time well spent for everybody, Joe. I want to ask you about something where we started this conversation, and that is Arlington Park. Once racing officially becomes dead at Arlington Park, what is the suspicion on what's going to be done with that land? That's a massive amount of real estate there.
That is the million-dollar question. Now, Mac, you know about the stories that pop up from time to time about the connections with the Bears and the Arlington Heights area. There's a lot of people that believe, and you can go back to the stories out there from the 70s and the 80s. Many have thought for a very long time that will eventually be the next home of the Bears.
That would be interesting.
That is the maybe billion-dollar, maybe billion-and-a-half-dollar question.
I like Danny Plesak's best, the $640 question. That's my favorite.
Joe Ostrowski, host of Early Odds, Saturday mornings 8 to 9. You hear him at nights on The Score. You better you bet with Radio.com. He's been all over this story. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, people out there, continue to take Cubs overs when the bullpen comes in.
Yes, absolutely. That's good advice. Steve Stone at 4 o'clock, Jed Hoyer at 4:30. We've been covering a story with regards to football broadcasting for, I think, since this show launched. We finally have our answer. It's next on The Score.
And for the first time, an NFL kicker has missed a field goal attempt at Estadio Azteca.
Oh, the end of an era. Joe Boog, Witt, and Lease. It's over with them in Monday Night Football.
7-0 Chicago. Joe, Witt, Boog, and Lease are with you here at Soldier Field.
We got the new team, Mac. My guess is you're going to be very unmoved. Steve Levy is your play-by-play voice. Three-man booth. Brian Greasy, Louis Riddick, your analysts.
Yeah, you were correct. That doesn't inspire excitement from me. Steve Levy is a credible play-by-play man, but he is not Monday Night Football timber. It's unfortunate, and you know, for your generation, Monday Night Football, and guys younger than you, Monday Night Football does not have the special place it has for people like me who remembered it as an institution and remember when it came on and just the history of it. you guys grow up with Thursday night football, and you get a lot of football. You also grow up with college football pretty much throughout the course of the week. So Monday night football, it doesn't have the same level of kick that it once did. I get that, but I still think that stage is special, and that is an uninspired group. It's just, you know, you got to do better than that. They tried. They went out and they tried to get some of the biggest names out there, and they floated a lot of money around, so it wasn't like they didn't make the effort. But that's underwhelming. I would just as soon hear their college football A team with Fowler and Herbstreit do Monday Night Football than that crew.
Well, you might get your wish. They are doing the doubleheader to open the season. If, of course, there is a season, Herbstreit and Fowler will do the second game of the Monday night. And Jim Miller, host of that Origins podcast, who wrote the book on ESPN, said, potentially subject to change if college football season is canceled and Herbstreit and Fowler become available. So who knows? My guess is this is not a long-term booth because they'll want star power when star power becomes available. But, you know, they tried to hire Drew Brees for when he retired. He went with NBC. They tried to get Peyton Manning. They want an A-list quarterback to try to get their version of Tony Romo. They tried to get Tony Romo, and none of that worked. So I think Lewis Riddick is very good. I think Steve Levy is more of a sports center anchor than a play-by-play guy. I don't love him on play-by-play. And Greasy is unspectacular in what I've heard of him. I think Lewis Riddick is very good, but I don't know if that translates as well to a game situation as it would. He's great on the draft because he's got the GM perspective, the scouting perspective. Yeah. So I'm sure he'll be good at it, but like I love him on the NFL draft and the studio stuff. So we'll see. It's pretty unspectacular, but that is your Monday Night Football booth, at least for this year.
I'll give it a try, of course. I mean, I'll be open-minded to it. There's no reason to go in with a bad attitude. Maybe they'll win me over. I wouldn't say I warmed up to Joe, Boog, Witt, and Lease, but you get used to it after a period of time. But I just thought Tessitore was so far over the top. It's just not necessary to bring it at the high decibel level at which he brings it, which is unfortunate because his voice has such a nice presence to it. He doesn't have to oversell the way he does. Levy, on the other hand, is kind of sleepy, and I'm with you. I think SportsCenter and I think hockey. I think Steve Levy, I think he should be in a studio somewhere talking to Barry Melrose.
About their great hair.
That a big studio full of hair with those guys about what the Hawks need to do better when they're killing penalties in the third period. So Melrose can say, the Hawks?
Let's see if Steve Stone has any criticism for the White Sox and how they have handled Nick Madrigal in service time next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.